The new American establishment of the 20th century was organized around the fountains of wealth international corporate business provides. By 1900, huge businesses had already begun to dominate American schooling, and the metropolitan clubs where business was transacted lay at the core of upper-class authority in every major city in the nation. The men's club emerged as the principal agency where business agreements were struck and indirectly where school policy was forged. In 1959, Fortune magazine shocked a portion of our still innocent nation by announcing where national policy and important deals were really made in New York City. If the matter was relatively minor, the venue would be the Metropolitan, the Union League, or the university. If it were a middling matter, it would be determined at the Knickerbocker or the Racket, and if it required the utmost attention of powerful men, Brook or Lynx. Nothing happened in boardrooms or executive suites where it could be overheard by outlanders. Each city had this private ground where aristocracy met quietly out of reach of prying eyes or unwelcome attendants. In San Francisco, the Pacific Union. In Washington, Cosmos or the Chevy Chase. The Somerset in Boston. Duquesne in Pittsburgh. The Philadelphia Club in Philadelphia. The Chicago Club in Chicago. Once hands were shaken in these places, the process of public debate and certification were choreographed elsewhere for public and press. Government business came to be done this way, too. The entire web of affiliations among insiders in business, government, and the nonprofit sector operates through interpersonal and institutional ties which interconnect at the highest levels of finance, politics, commerce, school affairs, social work, the arts, and media. Continuing conflicts of value within the leadership community give an appearance of adversarial proceedings, but each passing decade brings more and more harmony to the unseen community which plans the fate of schools and work.